LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's start building that energy. Let's hit that music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, bringing us today's topic, mediumship and divination. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Woohoo! It seems like we are a go this week after whatever those technological gremlins were that plagued not only us, but also our sister show, the Lucky Mojo Hootaroo Work Hour. That was insane. But, you know, before everybody gets sick of listening to me for today, what's new with you, Reverend James?
Well, like I said on the Hootaroo Root Work Hour yesterday, you know, and as well as you know, we are finally coming to the end of our insane amount of boxes where we have been combining houses, and we are starting to work on creating more products and adding them to the websites and working on the back ends of our websites and the Crystal Silence League to help reduce spam and increase, you know, activity and things. So it's been rather hectic, but in a good way. So that's pretty much what's been up with me.
I always kind of get a little giggle when I jump back over to you every week, because it's like I'm just sitting a few yards away and I know everything that's going on. But, you know, our listeners, it's all for the listeners. Before I do go on, it is Monday, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places Day yet again, and we're on the air. Thank the gods. But what is Monday? Monday's also Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. Make sure you're taking the time. Jump on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Find the Magic Mondays post for today. Drop a comment and get entered for your chance to win a free 15-minute reading with your Hoodoo Psychic of choice. You'll find myself there. You'll find Reverend James there. You'll find JD, our good friend from Detroit, Michigan, there. Miss Kat Ironwood, who is irreplaceable. Absolutely adore Miss Kat. And so many more. So definitely take a moment. Jump on over to Hoodoo Psychics. And continuing on with the discussion, you know, Reverend James brought up the what seems to be a never-ending supply of boxes that we just randomly kept pushing around the house until we could figure out what to do with them. Yes, we've been combining households for about 2 years now. What's that?
I said I felt like Wally moving lots of boxes.
I get it. Yeah, it's been fun, but we are back a little bit more functional. We have successfully migrated our websites over to a new hosting account, which will provide more opportunities for growth and a lot more stability for those. And like Reverend James said, also churning out some new products. We actually have some products that are going to be hitting retail shelves here in the Western North Carolina region as well. Very excited about that. And so just wanted to share with y'all, you know, we've been doing Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places now for roughly, we're going on almost 6 months. It's hard to believe. And it's been such a fun and wild ride. And the other day, well, now it's a couple other days ago since last week's show was abruptly, Blog Talk Radio just said, no. You've never really introduced yourself, Reverend Art. And I got to thinking about that, and hence tonight's show on mediumship and divination. A little bit of background about myself. You know, I've been a part of the spiritual community for now more than half of my life. Started really digging in and learning somewhere around the age 18, 19. And, you know, a lot of it was really trying to seek, for me, a new truth. I had been raised in organized religion for the earlier part of my life, and it never rang true for me. It never rang clear for me. And a lot of my seeking actually brought me into the world of metaphysics and things. I'd always had, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, abilities to see things that weren't there to the standard naked eye. You know, premonitional ideas and things of that nature, but it was very rough in the early days. Earliest I can remember is back when I was like 5 years old. I guess that would probably be around what you'd say would be the start of my path, where I would be at a funeral or something of that nature. And the person we were there to celebrate was there with us. And I was always so confused when I was young. Why is everybody so upset? They're right there. Led to some very fun conversations very early on in my life. But really, I'm warbling. Am I warbling for everyone? Are we having sound issues tonight?
At least on my end. You're coming through clear now, though.
Tech gremlins, I'm going to say. Reverend James jumps to stand at the ready and do some technological magic. You can never count Reverend James out in a pinch when it comes to needing a technological fix at the very last second. He's like MacGyver. But
I try.
You know, I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a chance to get to know me as well. And share a little bit of my path, because I love learning how everybody comes to spirit, how everybody comes to magic, how everybody comes to whatever their chosen path becomes and grows into. And wanted to share a little bit of that journey myself, or of my own. You know, I was very blessed early on to have met some fantastic teachers, and they very much helped me to hone what I had been kind of stumbling through for many years. I sometimes wonder where I would be now had I not met them, but going through and learning from like Lilydale classes and courses at Lilydale Assembly in Eastern New York or Western New York, my bad, all over Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, really, really trying to see what it was that I had experienced and put names to it. Started my path.
Reverend Art, before we go further, we have some people that aren't in the United States and some people that are on the West Coast may not be familiar with what Lilydale is. So can you kind of give us a little summation of what goes on there and why it was so pivotal on your journey?
Very good point. Very good point. The Lilydale Assembly is actually, it's a spiritualist community located in Western New York, in Canandaigua, New York, to be exact. During the summer session from roughly the second week of June through the week after Labor Day, is when the community is in season, and the classes that they provide are really top notch. You can go and learn mediumship and learn about stones and Reiki and all kinds of other energy healing modalities. You can participate in seances and readings, having readings done from the certified mediums that are within the community. The Healing Temple is a fantastic place to visit, very serene, very, very meditative. Something that if anybody gets the opportunity to visit, I highly recommend it. I've kind of toyed with the idea of setting up a kind of like a Lilydale experience weekend and trying to gather a bunch of people to go. It really is a wonderful, wonderful place to experience. A lot of people consider Western New York to be somewhat of the beginnings, that region, the beginnings of spiritualism and the spiritualist church. We'll get into a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But the some may know like the Fox sisters, who were primarily like the first well-known mediums of their time. Their house was actually purchased by and transported to the Lilydale compound, little log cabin from way back when. And Lilydale really does a good job of preserving spiritualist history. They have a museum on campus that is really phenomenal to wander through and see all the tools that mediums have used over the years, and the pictures, and so you can actually put faces to all the names of the mediums that really kind of set the tone of how the spiritualist church movement grew over the years. And actually, to answer the question, Troll T's question in the chat here, who originally set up Lilydale, to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure. It was a bunch of spiritualists that came together. I don't know names specifically. Who runs it now? Lilydale is run by a board of directors that lives in or very close to the actual city itself. And they are generally elected to those positions for a period of time, more or less making sure that everything is taken care of, the essence and nature of Lilydale continues on. I know Reverend James, when we were up north, he and I visited Lilydale multiple times. We attended readings at the Stump, which is a huge event that goes on a daily basis during the season at Lilydale, where there's a tree stump in the woods that the mediums, since Lilydale's inception, they would climb up on the stump and they would give gallery readings to whomever would join the crowds. And it's not uncommon. You'll go and it's standing room only. There are hundreds upon hundreds of people there, and just some amazing energy is built. You can actually feel it the moment you cross through the gates to get into Lilydale. And Wickway is up. Yes, very much. Casadega in Florida is another spiritualist community that began as an offshoot from folks from Lilydale. A lot of the Lilydale mediums will, as if anybody's familiar with Great Lake Snow along Lake Erie, it is not to play with. A lot of the mediums will winter down south, and in Casadega in Florida is one of those places that they'll go. But Lilydale is, yes, it's south of Buffalo, New York, southeast or southwest of Buffalo, New York, just off of I-90 in New York. But that's a little bit about Lilydale and where it is, you know, what to expect there. Highly, highly recommend taking the chance to visit, but it was very kind of funny to me that I didn't even realize how close I was to Lilydale growing up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it really did bring a lot of opportunity that many don't have elsewhere in the nation. There are other spiritualist communities. There is one in Wisconsin that our friend Deb Voith, also a member of AIR, that she has shared with us. There is Camp Chesterfield in Indiana. These groups really do seek to provide very strong educational backgrounds. up to certification on many things. But, you know, that my journey really, it did start with Wicca. That was my first experience outside of the Catholic Church when I was roughly about 18 years old. Started to experiment with that and grow with that. And it never really hit the mark for me. I had looked into other pagan traditions like Druidism and such, and really kind of stumbled around for several years in the early days. Just more or less, I guess I don't know if you want to call it a seeker of truth, and really trying to define the common thread that links everything together. That's kind of what I do is in my spiritual life as well as my personal and professional lives, you know, is finding those threads that of commonality that bring everything together, that create community, that create harmony. And that's kind of what I was looking for. Found that the further that I dug into spiritualism, it did lead to becoming a spiritual minister, ordained through the Order of Melchizedek, which is based in Rochester, New York, at the Sanctuary of Love, and also very much dove into energy healing with quantum touch and energy tapping and Reiki. I am a Reiki master teacher, among other things. All the while, I was taking and teaching at this point mediumship classes. It's a little bit about, you know, what brought me through the early days. And I spent a lot of time on the circuit, going around to different expos and such all around Western Ohio or Western New York, Eastern Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, and really kind of, you know, trying to really experience the world around me and the spiritual world. And it surprises me to this day how people, there's such diversity in the spiritual, metaphysical, pagan communities to celebrate and to bring together. And it always amazes me, though, the how there's still the gatekeepers that will tell you, you have to do this way, or you have to do that way. And that's one thing that I'm really hoping to learn to share with everybody, and that everybody can learn through the course of these Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places shows. You know, as everybody shares their different paths and their different ways to getting to their spiritual centers, there is no wrong way. Your truth is your truth, and we need to walk that truth. But that's enough about me. Do we have any questions, burning questions in the chat, Reverend James?
Well, we do have some questions, but I'm pretty sure that we'll get more into some of them as we go, because, you know, we kind of really haven't defined exactly what these things are yet, which I'm sure we'll get into. But something that does kind of seem a little bit relevant to what we were talking about is Dr. Sweet asks, when a medium gives you a reading and they don't mention anything that is familiar to you, would it be fair to say that they are a fraud? Usually there is something that resonates specifically with you.
Okay. This would be a great question for the second half, but we'll take it right now.
That's what I figured was going to be the case.
You know, there's a story that I like to share that kind of goes along with this this question. Once upon a time, I was at an expo that, you know, I had a client come to me and did a reading, and absolutely nothing landed. Nothing matched, nothing hit, no recognition, no nothing. And it was the first time that had ever happened to me. And, you know, when it was over, I had actually, you know, as I do, you know, sometimes a medium and a client don't necessarily connect perfectly or semi-perfectly. And, you know, I referred said individual to someone else. I said, well, maybe this person will be able to connect better for you. And it was roughly about 6-7 years later that I got a random email from this individual who apologized for reading me the riot act at the time. And, you know, I understood completely. But everything that we had discussed had come to pass. It was more experiences to come than experiences of the past or anything current. And she happened to come across the transcript from that reading, and in reading it through, realized what had transpired. Every working medium will work differently. If you're not resonating with that medium, a professional medium, if you're not connecting, you're not connecting. And they should be more than willing and happy and able to acknowledge that and to ensure that they can connect you with someone else that may be more in line with your energies. It happens.
We do have two other questions that you may be more uniquely suited to answer than I was. I scrolled back up to find these. Phyllis Margaret Gabor asks, are they affiliated with the Mutter Museum at the College of Physicians of Philadelphia?
Not to my knowledge. I've actually not heard of that.
Okay. And the second thing was...
I would like to say, Phyllis, send me some information on that. I would like to know more.
Troll T asks, do you have to qualify to live in Lilydale? And how do you go about doing that? And since we've already broached the Lilydale subject, I figured that would be appropriate.
Oh, yes. There is a process for gaining... a physical home in Lilydale. You go before the board, you have to fill out applications and so on and so forth. Not everyone that lives there is an active medium or psychic or metaphysician specifically, but they are a spiritualist. I did see Troll T also had one other question here too. About what is table tipping? How does it relate to spiritualism? Does it require special equipment? Table tipping literally is just that. It's another form of divination that is it's actually a lot of fun when you do it. But typically when you sit, Reverend James and I have done this many, many times. The table itself will start to rock as the energy builds, and it will at times levitate, depending on the connection. You can ask questions of the spirits that are on the table at the time. And as far as requiring special equipment, it just requires a table. It's another form of connection to spirit. You can use it much in the same way that you would use a pendulum, or much
in
the way
board.
A Ouija board, where you can ask it to spell out a word or yes or no questions, things of that nature. And it's a very interactive form of mediumship that typically you're looking at usually at least four sitters around the table to kind of build that circle. But it's something that's very common and is a very good demonstration of mediumship and spirit connection.
So now that you've gone ahead and answered that question, Reverend Art, you kind of jumped ahead of me here. So before we cut to our break in a second, I'd like for you to kind of explain the difference between what mediumship is and divination. Are they in the same category? Is one a subset of the other? Why did you separate them out for the title of this show? Kind of give people an idea of what mediumship is, what divination is, and why there is a little bit of a separation.
Is this from the chat?
No, this is not from the chat. This is from me trying to help everybody understand the topic.
A lot of people have psychic abilities. Well, everybody, to some extent, has a psychic ability. Everyone has that gut instinct. Everyone has that, that little tingle. I don't want to say spidey sense, but I'll just say it. That warns you of impending danger, or you're looking for something, and all of a sudden you feel a tingle when you walk past a certain part of the house. But not everyone builds and develops the direct lines of communication with spirit. When you're looking at mediumship, it is that direct communication with spirit. When you're looking at divination, these are tools that are used to bridge that divide and help to guide both the practitioner and the spirit side of things. And then when you look at other forms of divination as well that don't necessarily always include spirit, you have astrology and things of that nature, that the influences of the heavenly bodies that tug and pull and things of that like that on us and affect our days and affect decisions and can be predicting and are able to share what's coming down the road, things of that nature. But divination is more tool based in my opinion, where mediumship, the individual is, and this is going
to
sound
more
bad,
spirit
but
to spirit,
is the tool.
Like your spirit to their spirit. So is that why you kind of explained table tipping as mediumship and as divination? Because it can be used as a divination. So, for instance, Ouija board would be divination and mediumship because you're specifically speaking or reaching out to spirits. A pendulum may not necessarily be mediumship because you could use it to speak to spirits, but maybe it's more of a reading an energy that is around you or looking for a specific energy. Is that kind of what you mean?
I mean, think about using pendulums and dowsing rods and things of that nature for finding water. It's drawn to that energy. So there are from the tool side, there are multiple ways of doing these things. If you have a medium that uses these tools, then it's kind of like a 1-2 punch. But I just looked at the time that we have left, Reverend James, and I think it's time for some station announcements.
All right.
We'll be right back.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Contraman, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Instant Indication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay in syndication, Thursdays. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And let's dive in a little bit more to the meaty part of the discussion for tonight, talking about mediumship and divination. You know, when I was thinking about a topic for the evening, I know a lot of people are equally fascinated and skeptical about mediumship, and I thought, what better time to present it? I will be also teaching a workshop on it at the upcoming Tennessee Folk Magic Festival in Nashville. What is that, September 9th, Reverend James, I do believe, with the illustrious Papa G and Reverend Roy's shop, Aroma G's Botanica, there in Nashville. Looking forward to that. You know, I want to walk through a little bit of mediumship, kind of from very basic levels through. There's a lot of people truly, they don't understand what's going on, and with that, it can lead to some questions. You know, like I said earlier, mediums do work in different ways. There are physical mediums. I am not a physical medium. It can be developed. However, it is not something that I do. When you talk about physical mediumship, these are the folks that you'll find are able to generate ectoplasm. And Reverend James and I have actually experienced this firsthand, sitting seance just outside of Lilydale a few years back. It's a physical emanation of spirit. You have your mediums that will channel, where they physically give over the ability to spirit to speak through them and more or less utilize their body to generate sound. You have your mediums who are clairaudient. We'll get into the clairs a little bit here. Pretty much they have that ability to hear things, hear spirit, hear those emanations from the spirit world that others may not quite be attuned to. You have your clairsentience, mediums who are very good at sensing things. This is where you get into things like you'll hear of medical mediums and people that are, mediums that help to find lost people or criminals and things of that nature. They have that, they pull sense, like senses of impressions from the spirit world. Then you have your clairvoyants, the ones who are able to see with that third eye, the spirit world, and really to communicate directly from that way. So that's just a handful of lost my word examples of ways that mediums can work very, very differently. And it's important, and it's one thing, I know there was some discussion in the chat about looking out for scammers, which, yes, that is a thing, unfortunately, and sadly enough. But it's also important to kind of do some research before you approach a medium for a reading. You know, ask how they work. Ask a little bit about their background. Find out if what they have to offer is what you are looking for before you sit down for that appointment. It definitely will help to alleviate a lot of the stress that some people have experienced from some of these situations where things just don't match up. And one thing I do like to share for those who are listening, and I have a very long list of these, so I'm only going to touch on a handful of these. You'll come across those people that are very quick to scream to the highest of high hills that mediums are of the devil, and it's evil to talk to, you know, only evil people talk to spirits. However, I'm just going to throw out that even so far as back as in the Bible, there are very definitive references to mediumship as a spiritual phenomena of the people. You can look at for materialization in Genesis 3:8, Daniel 5, Luke 24:14, 16, and 29 through 31. Independent spirit writing is in Exodus 24:12, 31:18, 32:16, and a few more.
Reverend Art, I hope you have a list of these on your computer to post in the chat because you're going quite fast.
I'll share the whole list on the Mystics and Mages Facebook page. But spirit writing, Daniel 5, spirit speaking through trumpet, Exodus 19:16-19. Trance mediumship.
I believe that was speaking through trumpet, everyone, for those, because
yes,
he was breaking up a little bit.
Yep, sorry, didn't realize. Trance mediumship, Genesis 15, chapter 2 and 17, Daniel 10, 9, Acts 9, 3 and 9. You know, they're very clear, and I have references going into spirit levitation, also in the form of spirit healing from the New Testament. There's just so many examples. So for those that are doubting yourself out there, that are you bad because you can see spirits or you can hear spirits or you can sense this, that, or the other thing. No, you're not. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. And really, when it comes to really developing your mediumship and your connection with spirit, there's a lot of work that's not, it's not just working on the spiritual side. It's also working on the personal side, learning to trust yourself, learning to trust your intuition, learning to love yourself and allow this connection that is a gift to you, a gift of you, a part of you, and really to let that grow and embrace that. Much
so
like
Reverend,
anything.
You've mentioned a few times spirit, and it kind of seems like you use those interchangeably. Is that how they work, or are you speaking like whenever you were talking about the Bible, I assume you're speaking of spirit as in God, but is it always God? Or, you know, most of the time you hear about mediums, it's talking to, you know, dead relatives and the like. Can you kind of explain what you mean by spirit and spirits and the difference between those?
You know, that's a very wide subject, probably a show in and of itself. Okay, so one of the main questions that I get fairly often is, you know, why do some mediums say that they can connect to specific spirits and why others cannot? And really it comes down to what that individual mediumship's, the way their gift works with them. Some work specifically with their own what's called spirit guides, the spirits that are closest to them. And we all have spirit guides. Some people call them guardian angels. Others, you know, may just refer to them as ancestors. But we all have a spirit guide pantheon that's always around us. And you know, for many, that is their main source of connection for many mediums. You know, some mediums, they are able to do that, you know, the very much, you know, lock into a certain energy. My personal belief.
I'm sorry, Reverend Art. I just got a really quick question before you keep moving on. You said pantheon. Now, do you mean gods and goddesses, or do you mean more like in the spiritualist tradition where they talk about having a spiritual court? So it's a group of spirit beings, whether they be ancestors or specific races and tribes and cultures that come together to help a person.
You know, well, when I use the word pantheon, I typically use it in a phrasing of more geared towards laity than specifically speaking of deity of any given religion or collective. It's, you know, those spirits that are around us that we respect and are important to us, not specifically, you know, you can insert any religious capital P pantheon in here. I guess maybe it might be a better way to describe it than, you know, where I'm talking more lowercase p. These are the group that really works with us directly. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like in some of the more magical like Espiritismo and things like that. They have like La Gitana, so like the Gypsies, La Indios, the Indians, some things like that. That's kind of what you're talking about. It's just beings in the spirit realm, not necessarily gods or goddesses, but they can be.
They can. That is very possible.
Okay.
And it really depends on how the individual develops their mediumship. You know, is it their goal to specifically seek out, you know, I almost want to say like the rich and famous spirits, or is it their goal to more or less try to help as many people as possible, you know, just to share information, to assuage fears and things of that nature. It really depends on the individual. I've known some who have, you know, they're very, very good at pinpointing and locating very specific spirits, very specific people. And I know some that work more in a generalization where, you know, it mirrors a bit on the side of divination where, you know, it's more, you know, who do I have around me sort of questions and things like that, where it really just depends on that individual medium's individual gift and their level of development. Just have to throw it out there. You know, some folks have a very, very well defined and developed ingrained ability to connect. Others have to work at it. Does it mean either is better than the other? No. But for those that do have to put that time in, one of the biggest things that I want them to understand and to know is that that doesn't mean you're never going to be able to do it. It doesn't mean you're never going to be able to connect. It's like building muscle memory. The more you practice, the more you connect, the more you meditate and build those connections with the spirit world, the stronger and more effective, more efficient it will be, you know. And it really, when it comes to mediumship, you have to develop a whole new language to speak with your guides. And I use a lot of pop culture references when I teach because it's things that people can connect with. But there was a scene in a movie, I want to say it was Jungle to Jungle with Mimi Siku, if I remember the character's name correctly, where, you know, they were trying to connect two different cultures, two different languages, and had to figure out how to bridge that gap. What we see as red, spirit might see as blue. What we see as green, spirit might see as fuchsia. The sound of a dog barking might be tantamount to a trumpet to spirit. But when they're sharing...
So basically everybody's kind of have their own decoder ring with their own spirits.
Yes.
What things equal what things.
And it takes time to develop that language and to really bring that full circle. I mean, if you think about, you know, language learning just, you know, from country to country in spoken language, the amount of time and effort that goes into it for the vast majority of people, not everybody is, I totally lost the word of the people that can speak a bunch of languages. I'm sure you know it, James.
Polyglot.
That word. Never would have remembered that off the top of my head. It's not one of those words that you just, you know, randomly use in conversation. But, you know, there really is no version of that polyglot in mediumship, it does take that development. So when they are presenting you, you know, with a pink trumpet, you know what that means, it in what that translates to in your language. And it really time, it can take a lot of stress and for some people really beat themselves up over this. Like, I can hear it, but I just don't understand. I'm never going to get this and blah. And they lose their minds and they give up on it. And you have to stay true to that path and to really develop that inner language to be able to communicate with spirit. And I realize I am very far back in the chat, so if there are questions that are fitting in here anywhere, Reverend James, please do let me know.
Well, I mean, I do have a question myself. I mean, I'm admittedly not a great medium. That's not my forte. I can do a little bit of channeling, but I personally think that's something that's a little bit different. For me, I kind of equate mediumship to like you were talking about, where it, you know, they allow spirit to take over their body and to speak through them. Whereas like channeling is something that's kind of done mentally. You receive the message from a spirit and you can, you know, then verbalize it. But I have a question insofar as that when you said that there's not really a polyglot for this kind of thing, I'm not sure I understand that, but I think what you're trying to say is that you're going to have to develop this language for each spirit that you come into contact with. It's not like you can
Yes.
learn it with one spirit and then you know all of the spirit languages, basically.
Yes, that's very
Okay.
true. It does get easier, though, because now you have not just yourself, but you have a spirit that can help you to communicate with other spirits. And that goes, you know, talking about spirit guides, some of the books you'll read will talk about how we all have a quote unquote, they title it gate. And I hate to, considering what I meant,
yeah,
how I used
gatekeeper.
The word gatekeeper earlier, completely different meaning of the word gatekeeper, but we all have this gatekeeper that actually will go out and seek, you know, what it is you need. You know, if somebody comes up to you and they want a reading and you may not have a direct connection to their spirits, you don't have a direct language built up with their spirits, your spirit guides, your gatekeepers will find that what tools they need to do to be able to bridge that gap and bridge that divide. But yeah, there's, as far as the spirit realm goes, there's as many languages as there are, I don't know, stars in the sky.
Individual spirits.
Individual
okay.
spirits. And then you also can get into the discussion of, which may be yet another whole different show topic, on talking about incarnate spirits versus discarnate spirits and spirits that have never had an incarnation in the physical realm, and what that means in as much as they've never actually had that experience themselves with any form of physical communication to be able to really kind of connect on that spiritual plane. It can get very interesting very, very fast.
So Troll T has good questions here. He asks, what are good ways to connect with spirit guides, and how can we recognize these as compared to spirits who are trying to deceive us? So, for instance, let's say that someone is just starting out, you know, on their journey to mediumship, and they haven't really made connection with their gatekeeper, so to speak, or their messenger spirit that speaks to other spirits for them. How do you know that you're speaking to that spirit in particular, and that, you know, not another devious spirit or demon or devil has come in to speak to you? And I hate to give you two questions at once, but beyond that, you said earlier in the show that people think that, you know, mediums talk to devils and demons. Is that something that still fits into that, even though that is, you know, kind of a stereotype? Could a medium still be said to be a medium if they speak to demons? A demon is a spirit. Or is that kind of like dancing into necromancy?
Wow, Reverend James, didn't realize you were going to sort of throw some SAT-sized questions at me.
Well, that was just a mix of me and Troll T.
Okay. Well, let me try to unravel this a little bit. There's one thing most mediums will do is we have a form of protection that we'll do. Literally, most every medium I've ever talked to has called it a prayer of protection. So something, an energetic prayer that we'll put out there that only the highest and best come to us and only the highest and best go from us. And some, depending on their religious upbringing, will, you know, invoke, whether they invoke the Holy Spirit or Jesus or God or, you know, any other protective deity that they have a connection with, to ensure that, in a way, to keep those tricksters out and really be able to provide a connection that that's fruitful and meaningful and really does provide what the intention was for building that connection. That being said, as there is in Book of Life, there are those who will, yes, very much so, they will actively seek out and connect with the darker spirits that are out there. They will connect with the demons, the vengeful spirits and such. A lot of times, you know, you'll find that connected to, you know, whatever their individual practice is in the metaphysical community. But and for every, there's two sides to every coin. So to assume that every medium is just connecting to, you know, beings of light is kind of naive, I think.
Okay. Tolti has another question that I think is a really good one. And I think this may have more than one answer. He asks, does Reverend Art have a notion of what the reality is cosmologically? And do spirits of the dead have an eventual destination? So what I kind of think he's asking here is, you know, there are many different cultures and there are many different thoughts of what happened to us after we die. So, for instance, in some cultures, it's, you know, the spirit lives on the earth for 101 days. In Buddhism, there may be some things where, you know, you have hungry ghosts. So people that were still greedy and vengeful in their life and they still want and have greed in their afterlife. But then there are those that become enlightened and move beyond. Is there a overall umbrella as to what spirits do when they become spirits and where they go? And what is your personal take on that?
You know, it's been my understanding and experience that, you know, everybody's probably seen these memes on social media and such as say, you know, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And when we pass, for those that have been, you know, incarnate, you know, various opportunities and options are available. I don't want to sound like a car salesman, but, you know, there are those who, like in the Buddhist tradition, you know, they reincarnate to achieve nirvana, to achieve that Buddhahood, and to perfect their soul. That may take regular reincarnations over the course of however many tens to hundreds of years. You know, there are some spirits who come to the incarnate, have come incarnate to really experience something that they had no definition of, no common language for, no way to really describe in their existence thus far. So they might want to experience love. They may want to come and experience lust. They may want to come and experience, there are people that come in, or spirits that come, and they want to experience pain. And it's...
So you could liken this to, in a way that when we die, we kind of go back to a spirit travel agency, and they ask you, what do you want to experience? And then they send you off on a new journey. Is that kind of like what you're getting at?
You know, I think it's a little bit, you know, there's not some grand person sitting there going one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy, and just doling out experiences or anything like that. These are personalities. These are individuals. These are, much as you and I and everyone listening today, as well as everyone who will listen in the future and across this world, are all individuals. And they have their own motivations when it comes down to it. And, you know, some folks have, and one of the things that people say, well, why can't you contact, you know, my great aunt Eugenia or something? Sometimes spirits don't want to be bothered. They're now doing their spirit life. They're living it big. They're doing their thing. Some may have already reincarnated and may not be in spirit form, the spirit realm still. That's been my experience in my practice over the past, you know, 25, 30 years, is, you know, not every spirit acts the same as every other spirit. I kind of have to go back to saying that really kind of, in my estimation, thinking that would be the case is, again, kind of naive.
So just for simplicity's sake, again, you know, I like making things simple words, simple explanations. So it's more like, instead of the travel agency analogy, it's more like we all have our own self-drawn map of where we started and where we want to go. And we have different stops that we've made, that we've programmed into our map. And each incarnation is, it works in that way. We choose where we want to go. There's nobody that tells us where we have to go, but when we go, I want to experience this next.
It's the ultimate exercise of free will.
Okay. That clears it up for me a little bit.
I did want to address, I mean, I know I'm way far back in the chat here, but did want to, Balkan Diviner asked if I've ever come across a spirit that sent chills down my spine. And I will say this. I'm a very experiential person, and I mean, I'm not experiential to the point of going, oh, I'm going to touch the stove and see if it's hot, because I'm not a sadist, but I like to kind of build a good frame of reference around things that help me to recognize patterns in the future. So, you know, Reverend James, when he and I met, I started taking him on some ghost hunts and went and did some exploring of different traumatic places around Pennsylvania, Ohio, and New York. And a lot of times people ask me, why do you do that? That just sounds nuts. Why would you go? It's to have that experience of what that negative entity feels like to me. How does that translate to me? Have I met spirits that have sent chills down my spine? Hell yes. Have I turned around and walked away briskly? Yes. Have I been in the middle of a ghost hunt and left completely because I said, F this? So I hope that helps answer that a little bit for you, Balkan Diviner. But for me, that's important to have that experience, to know, you know, the negativity, the negative entities that you come across, the those spirits that are hurting in death as they were suffering in life. Some of these places that you visit, everybody's watched like Ghost Hunters and all those kind of shows. So you kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about. But you know, even walking through the fields in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, you know, Civil War fields, where many lost their lives, you know, you feel and you sense and you learn. And that's one of the main reasons why I do that. I'm trying to get so caught up here on the chat. So if you have one for me, Reverend James,
okay.
I think we...
That's all right. Yeah. You had mentioned Balkan Diviner. He's the next one that I have, at least that I've seen, that got the next question. And I think this one's a really good one. Do you connect in the same manner with spirits of deceased pets? Is it the same as connecting with humans or, you know, unincarnated spirits?
You know, for me, it has been very similar. It's been rare. It's more rare for me to have the spirits of pets enter into a reading. One comes to mind in a reading that I was doing in Warren, Ohio. I did the whole reading, and at the end of the reading, and I said, and I just want to let you know, Ms. Client, that, you know, there is a chocolate lab that is sitting behind you and follows you wherever you go and sleeps at the foot of your bed at night. And, you know, we had had a lot of very in-depth discussion up to this point through this reading, talked about some very sensitive issues. And she was very stoic through that whole reading. And I added that at the end. And of all the things to have to just cause her to break out in just tears, I always keep a box of Kleenex with me when I'm at shows and things of that nature. I gave them to her. But, you know, that connection was there and wanted to be shared. So, I mean, that there are mediums that specifically connect to animal spirits. They actively work with those more animalistic energies. for me, it's not as common. It happens. It pops up every once in a while.
Falcon Diviner has another really good question. How does this all work with ancestor worship? He says, so at some point the ancestors reincarnate and they do not answer our prayers. I've read that a portion of that identity remains in the spirit realm. So, like for instance, you know, in the Hoodoo tradition, we have ancestor worship and mainly, I want to say, African and Asian traditions. It's very highlighted around ancestor worship. How do you think that works insofar as mediumship and reincarnation?
See, this is why I so thoroughly enjoy when Vulcan Diviner and Troll T both join us. The questions are phenomenal. So it's a little bit of a nuanced thing that I wasn't going to dive into too much, but yes, there is that bit of that emanation that still ties back to the spirit realm. Is this in the chat, James? That was a lot. I just want to make sure that I go through.
Yes, it's in the chat. I just added to it to help explain what the question was.
Okay. But yes, a portion of that identity does remain. Is it as active? Not as much. It's now working on two fronts. Will it still work? Will that energy still work with you and for you? Yes. So I hope that helps.
Troll T asked two questions, but I think they can kind of be mixed together. I think earlier we did mention that reincarnating is intentional, or at least the way that you see it, it is. I also see it that way personally, as I've always believed in reincarnation, but then as I've become more of a Buddhist and incorporated that belief system into my spirituality, there is a whole thing on, you know, you have to have certain initiations to be able to do this, but it's a technique called POA, where at the end of your life, you do certain meditations that help you release your mind, i.e. your spirit, from your body. And as you do that consciously, then you can put your mind in that spirit world and then decide what you want to do. That's why many of the great lamas and things say that I will be reincarnated in such and such city by the parents of a man named such and such and a woman named such and such in the year of such and such. They decide all of that before they even die and do these meditations. Is that something that you also believe, which I think we kind of covered? And as far as when reincarnation happens, can two spirits become one, and can one spirit split and become two?
Okay. I have two chats going now, so I can actually, I'm where I'm at and I'm in the future, which is really a bizarre way to look at this now that I say that out loud. But, okay, can reincarnation be intentional? Yes. Why do I say that? So the way I've experienced this, the way I've come to understand this is, yes, even in melding the Buddhist belief into reincarnation, is that, you know, you have your whatever it is, position X that you need to learn. And, you know, in the Buddhist tradition, you look at it in a way that, you know, you come back as a lower emanation being, you know, some people come back as an insect or so on and so forth. There are ways to kind of choose how you're going to learn what it is that you need to learn. If as a spirit, you're I hate to make it sound like you're building an RPG character, a role-playing game character for those that play role-playing games or understand what I'm even talking about using this analogy. You know, you kind of, okay, I need to learn angst. So you come back as a emo, blah, 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 sort of individual that, you know, you're constantly having that angst. You know, you kind of pieced that together, and that's your choice. It goes kind of back to that whole thing about free will. So, okay, can we find a way to decide what will turn? Okay, can two spirits reincarnate into a single person? That I've not experienced in my personal practice, in my personal life. The reverse, however, when we talk about can a spirit reincarnate into two individuals, think about twins. And everybody always says twins have their own language that only they understand, that twins have a connection, that even if, you know, you have a set of twins that are separated at birth, that they can still sense each other, you know, from opposite ends of the globe. That's that spirit connection. Hopefully did I cover all the points, James? I want to make sure.
I believe so.
Okay. I mean, it's one thing to have a guest on and to be giving the SAT questions. Holy shit, being on the firing block. But I'm loving it. Okay, I see another question. Are you familiar with mediumship technology? Okay, I've seen I have friends that are the tech savvy ghost hunter type. And they have, you know, all the fun little toys. I can't say I'm familiar with it, because everybody who knows me knows that I am the least technological savvy person in the world, I think, at some times. It's funny that you ask me if I think they're legitimate. And I will say yes, because of an experience, and I can't remember if you were with me on this one, James, or not, where we at Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. I was on a ghost hunt with my friends with the toys, and we were down in the sub basement of the, and you know, I'm walking through, and they got used to very early on my muttering to myself as I was walking through, because I'm doing my thing. I'm connecting and as I go. And my friend had the voice, what's it called? The voice box thing it has the computer voice. Do you remember what that thing's called, James?
Mostly they just call them ghost boxes. I don't know. They have different names for the actual units.
Well, we're walking through and it picked up words, and she starts talking to it and, you know, avidly watching that screen. And she's like, do you want to talk to me? And the room, I was probably about 40 feet away, and I very clearly heard across the room, I'm already talking to Art. And I couldn't help it. I kind of lost it. I started laughing so hard. Were you with me on that one, James?
No.
And it just, I'm like, wow, the spirit's a smart ass too. It was just hilarious. But that for me was validation on the technology side, is that there is some validity to it. I see there's some talk about the apps. I know James and I have both tried some of the apps. I'm starting to wonder, because I think we only did that at Hillview in just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that was just a whole nother story as far as connecting with the spirits in Hillview Manor. Everybody, the technology folks were so frustrated, because the minute they would have all their batteries charged, everything was off and ready to go. The minute they would walk out of the staging room and go out into the building, everything would die. And they all had to go back to the room. So all their toys didn't work. Spirit apparently just wanted to zap them and say, hey, we don't need you. We don't need that to communicate with you. But so that is my take on the, I guess you can call it mediumship technology. And we have 3 minutes left. Wow. That flew by so fast. You know what, folks? If you'd like to continue this conversation, let me know. I will be more than happy to do a part two. Send us a message through Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook. Let us know through the Lucky Mojo forum. And I would be more than happy to put together another whole session on, we can get further in, talk more about do's and don'ts as a medium, but all kinds of stuff. But that's all the time we have for tonight. I really hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Why don't you take us out, Reverend James?
Thank you, Reverend Art. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers and WorkingWithSpirits.com will be L. Duval with a discussion on plant magic. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandwoodworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
No, we have a few seconds left here. You know, I wanted to thank everyone for your patience last week during the Blog Talk Radio meltdown. And, you know, we got a lot of great things coming up from Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Gave a few sneak peeks and to a few folks that hung out with us when we did jump over to Discord briefly. So stay tuned, everybody. It's going to be a wild ride. Have a wonderful week. Blessings, everyone.
Good night.